It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4.25-inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beechwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Scottie Scheffler wins again on the PGA Tour. It is his fifth title this year so far. He wins the Memorial at Muirfield Village Golf Club in Dublin, Ohio. Scottie Scheffler finished at -8, one shot ahead of Colin Morikawa, and four shots ahead of third-place finisher Adam Hadwin. Scottie Scheffler, along with his wife and his new son Bennett, there to greet him on the final hole after he finished his round, along with Jack Nicklaus, who is the tournament chairman, walks off the green after winning for the fifth time on the PGA Tour this year. Here was Scottie Scheffler after the win.
Yeah, it's very special. I think Mr. Nicklaus did a lot of great things for the game of golf, but, you know, the effect he had on his community and our country as well is very special, and so I've looked up to him for a long time. He was always a family first guy, and I try to put my family first as much as possible, just the way he did. And, you can kind of see it. You know, I think he's been married, I think he said 64 years now. Lord willing, marathon will make it that long. But, it's special to be here, and it's, even more special to be the winner.
Scottie Scheffler's on-course earnings this year with his five victories, along with his finishes in other tournaments, totals $24,024,553. That equates to a little over $1 million for every time he's teed it up this year. Wow. Amazing the prize money that these guys are playing for right now. And it gets ramped up even more this week with the U.S. Open going to Pinehurst. Pinehurst number 2, to be exact. 156 players will try to win the U.S. Open Championship trophy that dates back to the inaugural U.S. Open at Newport, Rhode Island Golf Club in 1985. It's an 18-inch tall sterling silver trophy that was originally commissioned by the USGA and made by the Gorham Company. The winner takes that home along with the gold medal for winning the U.S. Open. Also, a pretty big check goes along with that as well. Pinehurst number 2, a legendary golf course and one that is going to host many U.S. Opens in the future, first hosted the U.S. Open in 1999, which was won by Payne Stewart. In 2005, the U.S. Open was won by Michael Campbell over Pinehurst number 2, and Martin Keimer won it in 2014. It is now an anchor site for the U.S. Open. Pinehurst, hosting this year, will also host the U.S. Open in 2029, 2035, 2041, and 2047. The USGA accepted 10,052 entries by the deadline of April the 10th, the third highest total in championship history for golfers trying to make their way to Pinehurst number 2. There were 109 U.S. Open local qualifying sites that fed into 13 final qualifiers, including international sites in Canada, England, and Japan. Final qualifying in the United States took place at 10 different sites in the states of California, Florida, Georgia, Maryland, New Jersey, North Carolina, Oregon, and Texas. Two sites in Ohio were used, Columbus and in Springfield. This year, the U.S. Open, back at Pinehurst number 2. Who will win? We'll have to wait to find out. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, I sit down with a player that has won the U.S. Open, two times to be exact. Retief Goosen won the first time in 2001 over at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That year, the length of the course played to 6,973 yards. There were 156 players. The cut was at plus six. The prize money was $5 million. And Retief Goosen took home $900,000 for winning the U.S. Open that year. Had to do it in an 18-hole Monday playoff where he finished two strokes ahead of runner-up Mark Brooks. Then in 2004, he won again the 104th U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills Golf Club in Shinnecock Hills, New York. He defeated reigning Masters champion Phil Mickelson. That year, the purse was $6.25 million, and Retief Goosen took home $1.125 million. The course played to 6,996 yards, and again, the cut was plus six. What will happen this year? We'll have to wait to find out. But Retief Goosen, coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, he is one of the PGA Tour Champions players that is hoping to make his way to Pleasant Valley at the end of October for the second leg of the Charles Schwab Cup. As it stands right now, Retief is in very good position to make it to the second leg of the Charles Schwab Cup playoffs, where the top 54 advance to the Simmons Bank Championship at Pleasant Valley Country Club in late October. More information coming on that at the end of this episode. When we come back, I'll sit down with Retief Goosen, and I hope you'll enjoy his interview. I want to thank Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. BPHotels.com is where you find them on the web. They are one of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. If you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you're staying at a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group property. We're back after this.
The future is not about a bond reaching maturity. The future is what my grandfather worked for. It's what my father carried on. It's my responsibility today. The future is my son's tomorrow. At the Stevens Private Client Group, we believe that our strength builds success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the real fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, Bogle Park, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with the newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. When you need an overnight place to stay anywhere in Arkansas, check out bphotels.com first. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. Retief Goosen, also known as the Goose and Iceman, born in Petersburg, South Africa, stands at 5'11", has won two U.S. Open championships, so yes, two majors to his name. His best finish at Augusta National was second and a tied for second. He finished tied for sixth at the PGA Championship and finished tied for fifth twice at the Open Championship. But those two U.S. Open wins, the two majors, they stand out. Retief Goosen, who has 39 professional wins on his resume, was in Dallas recently, and I had a chance to catch up with him at the Invited Celebrity Classic at Las Colinas Country Club. On the tee, Retief Goosen.
Retief Goosen, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. Man, I see you walking across the parking lot, and everybody's like, hey, congrats, champ. I mean, you're playing good.
That's right. You know, I took about 2.5 months off early in the year, played two rounds of golf. I just gave myself a mental break from the game, you know, and physically too. Just did everything else but golf. And came back, and my first week was pretty rough. Didn't putt very well, and then Newport Beach, I hit it okay. I had my chances to do better, and couldn't make any putts. And then, just went over to Palm Springs, and literally on the Tuesday, I was just doing a practice round, and I found this. I looked at putters in the Odyssey bag there, and going through all these putters, and I pulled this one out and I put it down, and instantly when I put it down, I thought, I like the way this thing looks. Let me hit a few putts. And I took it out on a course and in practice round, and the putter felt great. And put it in a bag, and the rest is history. I made everything on the greens that week, and it's just amazing how it goes, this game. You know, I've been putting with the same putter for years and years and years, and then suddenly I just pull something else out of the bag, and I make all the putts. So, that's not 2 weeks ago. I've had another 2 weeks off and didn't play much golf, so maybe that's the secret. You know, my time off, I need to just take some time off and recharge and think more about the game than just necessarily hitting balls.
Isn't that what makes this game so great, is the fact that you might not have it 1 week or 2 weeks or even for a month, but then all of a sudden one little thing and boom, you've got it.
That's true. And you know, and golf is a funny game. Now, 1 week you can win, and the next week you don't even make the cut. You know, that's happened so many times with me. You know, once you walk off to the trophy and that Sunday, the following week's a brand new week. You know, you don't have a team behind you that can carry you, maybe. It's all an individual game. And it doesn't matter how well you played last week. To continue to play well has never been easy in this game. And, you know, you're different conditions, different golf courses. Some golf courses you like, some you don't. So it's tough to just keep winning.
Do you remember the first time you picked up a golf club and fell in love with the game?
Not really, no. My dad was a player. He was down to about a 2 handicap in his younger days. And I got 2 older brothers that played golf. So there was always golf clubs lying around the house. But for me, it was more, I did a lot of other sports, you know, rugby, cricket, tennis. You know what you do at school, you know, you just do all the sports. So golf wasn't really a thing for me. But I think then my dad had a practice net in the back of his garden, and he was hitting balls at night, you know. And so I saw him doing that, and I just started hitting balls against the net. And, yeah, next thing, you know, we lived very close to the golf course, about less than a mile away. And I found myself cycling down there on my bicycle and go and hit some balls. And that's really where it started for me. My brothers, I caddied for them sometimes, make a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. You know, in those days, it wasn't like the nice pyramid golf balls you have now. Yeah, I had my own little shag bag with like 30 balls in it, and I hit it down a range, go and walk out there, pick it up, and come back, yep. And off you go again, you know. So, and to make it easy, I spent a lot of time around a chipping area or 80-yard shots, because it's easier to pick the balls up than hitting a driver out there that you're spraying all over the place and you can't find your balls. So my short game became good very quickly. And luckily, I've always been a fairly good putter. You know, I always found putting pretty, I won't say easy, but, you know, putting is totally different to the swing. There's no strength involved. It's all about reading greens and seeing lines, and so basically I was a bit self-taught. I learned my game from Jack Nicklaus Golf My Way, golf books, Tom Watson, Arnold Palmer. My dad was a big Ben Hogan fan, so you know, in those days we didn't have the fancy cameras and stuff you have now. You just had to look
it at wasn't technology.
No, you just had to look in a mirror. This is how Jack hold that, so I hold it like that, you know. And and that's how I learned the game.
I don't see you as a rugby player, though.
I played rugby till I was about 14, you know, but broke a thumb, hurt a knee, and that's when I said, no, that's enough.
Yeah, I would think mom and dad would say, hey, son, that's enough.
I know, it's a hard game, man. You get those boys as hard as nails.
Yeah, I think I was watching some the other day, and I was like, golly, I just don't understand it.
Yeah, no, it is tough. It's a tough game.
Golf much easier. when you are on the course and playing in pro-ams and stuff with amateurs, what are some things that you see that they just don't do right?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing with amateurs is short game. You know, they all hit the ball okay, but once they get 50 yards and in, it's, you know, takes him 5 shots to get on a green. Hit in the bunker, takes him 2 to get out the bunker, 3 to get out the bunker. If they could just spend a little bit more time around a short game, they can actually half their handicaps. I mean, they all hit it reasonable, and they don't hit greens in regulation. So you need to get it up and down. And if, you know, if it takes you 4 shots to get down, you know, by just practicing your short game, you're going to improve your game.
You're a 2-time major champion, both U.S. Opens that you won, 2001 and 2004. What do you remember about those and the pressure that you were under to try and win those?
Yeah, I mean, 2000, you know, when Tiger ran away with everything.
At Pebble, yeah.
I just made the cut on the number there and played reasonable on the weekend to get myself in the top 11 or something to qualify for the 2001 US Open. And then I ended up winning the 2001 US Open. So that was another week there that I played in England the week before and played well, but I just couldn't make any putts. Couldn't make anything. And then had a good practice round in Tulsa with Nick Price that one day before, and I left the greens and started making everything on the greens, you know. With us in the pro circuit, you know, everybody hits the ball reasonably the same. It's the guys that can get it up and down and make the putts that win every week. And that week I made everything on the greens. And the same for 2004, I made everything on the greens. So, but that's how it generally goes. You know, if you win a tournament, you 1 or 2 in the putting for the week.
Southern Hills, I mean, just a fantastic piece of property, I think. And then Shinnecock, too, where you won in 04. But those two golf courses and how you can get different courses from week to week as a professional, is it tough to adjust to that for us amateurs that might play the same course week after week after week and not be able to play different courses? The change, is that difficult to adjust to?
It can be, yeah. Some weeks... obviously, if you go from just playing a Parkland course and you go and play the British Open, it's a completely different game, you know. Suddenly you got to play it along the ground, balls bouncing all over the show, so it makes quite a big change. But Parkland courses are generally almost, you know, the same kind of thing. You just got to hit it in a spot and go from there. I mean, golf, at the end of the day, doesn't matter what course you play, you got to make the swing, you hit the shot. I think the thing that we find is green speed is a thing that you have to adjust more to. You know, some one week you could have slow greens, following week greens very quick. So the quicker you can get around the greens and on the greens, getting your pace right, because there's a lot of weeks that you just keep leaving it short, you know, and putting is important.
Are there any tips you can give amateurs for trying to get the speed of the greens down in a timely manner as opposed to it taking you 18 holes to figure it out?
Yeah, you know, most amateurs don't really know the art of reading greens. If you can read greens properly, it'll be a little bit easier to read the speed or feel the speed. I mean, if you can see grain and you can see when you're actually putting across the grain, up the grain, into the grain, or down grain, you can learn a lot about speed. And if your speed's right, you got more chance of making putts. And, you know, yeah, some guys, I think if they could spend a bit of time with their local pro and just learn the little art about chipping and reading greens, you're going to make a massive improvement on your game.
You spoke about Tiger Woods earlier in the early 2000s and his impact on the game of golf from a player that had to go up against him every week, but he helped raise the purses as well, correct?
Well, yeah, you know, it all started way back, obviously. Every generation had its guy.
True.
You know, you had Arnold Palmer and then Ben Hogan and Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus then came along and, you know... you know, Jack Nicklaus in a whole season won what first prize is now out on a Champions Tour, pretty much. You know, so it's a big change. And then Tiger came along, and then things and he came around just the right time, you know, with the way TV went, the way the game went, sponsors, how big the game became right there. And, yeah, thanks to him, we're playing for a lot of prize money, especially now the Go Boys are playing for some big money.
They are.
And then Liv is now out there pushing things to another level. So it's going to, it's just our old guys here on the Champions Tour that's still playing for peanuts. But, you know, but we've been there. We've done our thing in a way you think, oh, I wish I was 20 years younger now and I'll be out there making this money now. But that's just how the cookie crumbles.
I mean, it seems like that this PGA Tour Champions, it's more of a friend environment as opposed to, oh, I want to go beat that guy bad.
Well, I would say, you know, you'd be surprised. These guys, you know, these are all guys we competed on in our younger days. And the competitiveness is still there. You know, we all want to kick each other. And but, you know, the older you get, injuries, you know, some weeks you just feel great. Following week you struggle to walk down the fairway, you know. And if you can stay healthy, you can play on a Champions Tour for a long time. But, you know, we also got to look at it at this way. We're really lucky in golf that we can actually, at our age, still compete and play for the money we're playing for. I mean, you talk about other sports, you know, when you're 30 or 35, like a tennis player, you're a senior. You know, you're done. And what you're in your prime of your life at 35 and you're done. What are you going to do for the rest of your life? You
right.
know? So we're really lucky that we can still be out here and competing and still make a reasonable living out on a golf course.
Obviously, the PGA Tour Champions is coming to Arkansas at the end of the year, October, the last week of October. It's the second leg of the Charles Schwab Cup playoffs. Mm. You hope to be in Little Rock, in Pleasant Valley. I mean, you might already have your place secured there.
No, I it's nice to have that win and push you up in a Schwab Cup. You know, the tournaments are coming, and we're busy. The holiday time's over. So now you got to pace yourself, play consistent golf through the summer. You got the majors, big prize money, play well in those, you move way up. I'm hoping to be there.
How do you pace yourself throughout the year?
Well, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, at our age, is stay healthy. You know, still work out, stretching is important. If you can avoid injuries and sore backs and necks and all that kind of stuff, you know, we want to work at the game, we want to practice, but you just can't hit balls like you were when you're 30 or 32, you know. You can't stand on a range and bash away a flat out 300 balls. You know, mm-hmm. I hit 30 balls now and I'm tired, you know. So, and it starts hurting and I've had enough, you know. So you just gotta pace yourself you know, make sure you're not physically drained. Mentally, obviously, you have to be sharp, stay sharp. But just, you know, don't overwork and just stick to basics.
There's only so much Tylenol and Advil you can take, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Is there a tournament that you would like to have one do-over? And what tournament would that be?
There's probably too many of them. I'd probably say 2005 U.S. Open. You know, leading by a couple, going there in the last round, and then just had the worst day of my life on a golf course, shot 80 or whatever it was. And but my good friend Michael Campbell came through and shot a low round to win. And funny enough, just had dinner with him last night. I would say that's a round I would like to have over.
I would have thought maybe Augusta.
I finished second there a couple of times. But if I have to just pick one round, you know, I would put it, would have been nice to have, you know, won back-to-back U.S. Opens.
That would have been impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be on a short list of people that have been able to do that.
Exactly.
Were you surprised in 19 when Tiger won at Augusta after what he had been through and how neat it was, I guess, to see his dad there in 97 when he walked off the green, and then to have his son Charlie there when he walked off the green in 19.
Yeah, I mean, that was an amazing moment. It was like Jack Nicklaus, you know, and he won at 46 or whatever. He's 18th. No, it was great to see, you know, for all the things he's been through. And, you know, that's why I say in this game, you know, if you can have, I mean, look at Lange, longevity, you know, and but he got injured.
He did. That Achilles.
You know, so he's human after all. But, you know, if he only played, what, 24 holes in like a year and a half, you know. He made the cut at Augusta. Obviously, the weekend, everything just fell apart. But that was still an amazing achievement.
Best golf course you've ever played?
All the ones I went on. Those are the best golf courses I like to play.
I can understand that. Yeah. So Shinnecock, Southern Hills.
Yeah, I mean, they're all great, those ones I went on. The ones I lose on, like crap, I don't play on those. But the thing is, there's so many great golf courses I haven't played. That's the thing, you know.
Like?
You know, you talk about people mentioning all these courses, you know, around here. What is it, National?
Dallas National. National.
I've never played, you know. Other golf courses around the country, around the world. You know, we just, I mean, in South Africa, the one golf course, Leopard Creek, is always ranked one or two in South Africa. I've never played it, you know. We have to go where the tour takes us. And, you know, in your weeks off, when you play 35 tournaments a year, you know, weeks off, you want to go home.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to say which is the best golf courses or the greatest golf course I ever played. It's tough to say, you know. But, you know, I played last week. I played Sage Valley up near Augusta.
And yeah. A
beautiful place that is.
What about your time on President's Cups and being a part of that team atmosphere around golf?
That's definitely a different game, that team event, because we don't play team events. You're an individual sport, and it can be nerve-wracking. You know, it's not that you just play for yourself. You're now playing for your friends and everybody else, and everybody's watching you, and the pressure's on you.
Yeah.
And match play is that kind of game, too. You know, guy chips in from 50 yards, suddenly you got to make. It's a pity. In the President's Cup, I never managed to get a win. We got that half that one year in South Africa. But it was great times, that.
When this guy is on television playing golf, Retief Goosen is definitely tuning in. Who is it?
I enjoyed watching the Masters. I mean, Scottie Scheffler is amazing now, the way the guy is going around the course. It makes it look so easy. And he's not even putting well, you know.
Yeah.
And the ball striking is unbelievable. If that guy gets the blade going like Tiger, that he's
look
gonna
out.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others you'd like to play a round of golf with.
Mm.
You've probably played with everybody you'd want to play with, though, so that's...
Yeah, you know, somebody asked me the other day, also, what is the last golf course you ever want to play with, you know? And I said, you know, I probably want to play at a golf course where I grew up. You know, my town, Petersburg, there's one golf course, even today, only one golf course. If I have one round left, that's where I want to do it. And, you know, if I have to put it together, I'll probably say I definitely play with my dad around the golf, although he's passed away now. And I'll put Gary Player in there and Jack Nicklaus. He was one of my mentors, so the four of us could have fun.
That would be fun. Retief, thanks so much for the time. Hope to see you in Little Rock in late October.
We'll be there. Thanks.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
That's all the time we have for this edition of From the Short Grass. I'm going to have more in the near future on how you can get tickets for the PGA Tour Champions Simmons Bank Championship that is coming to Pleasant Valley Country Club, so stay tuned for that. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more, and I hope to see you soon from the Short Grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.